Just launching a new series today called Growth. And earlier in the year, when we were thinking about, what are things that God is calling us, this year, or God is inviting us into this year, and six things kind of like came up. And when we lined them up, they were the acronym had come to mean growth. So we said, yeah, let's jump into that. So we'll be looking for the next 6 weeks. We'll be looking to this, the theme of growth and things that God is calling us. So today is going to be the letter G, and next week R, and so forth. And when we think about growth, I think God calls us to grow. And this is not only just to do with numerical numbers as a church, but actually this is a kind of growth that God invites us to grow into that which matters the most to Him. And, our walk in God is actually a process of becoming, that we are becoming. We are becoming who God wants us to become. We are becoming like Jesus. And that means we are growing into something that God is inviting us into. And what that means is that, therefore, growth is an invitation. Growth is an invitation for us to surrender things to God. Growth is an invitation for us to receive from God, that we actually receive from God that which He has for us. But also, growth is an invitation into stepping out of our comfort zones so we can go into unfamiliar spaces, because that's where you grow the most, there, when you go to the places that God is calling you. And our theme for today is giving, overtaking, that we will choose to give rather than to take. And we are reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. And if you can, would you please stand as we read this passage together? Luke 12, 13 to 21. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he taught them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." God, we thank you for who you are and the invitation that you present to us. May you speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and have a seat. Now, the question is, how many of us do know a greedy person, like somebody who is greedy? How many of us do know greedy people, or maybe a group of people that's kind of prone to greed? We say stuff like, "These greedy politicians," greedy politicians. We say that, don't we? Or maybe you remember your boss when you think of greed. Remember your boss who always, like when there's like a trip going outside the country, it's just themselves. Like, they never send someone else to go on that trip. And you're like, "Oh, that greedy boss." That greedy boss. Or maybe you have a friend who only wants to share your stuff, but they never share theirs. And you're like, "But whenever they have stuff, they never share with me. It's only me that shares with them." Or maybe you have a family member who only shows up when things are bad. When things are not going well, then they show up. But when things are good, they go missing, MIA. They are no longer there. We know greedy people in our lives. But how many of us have considered that I am a greedy person? That you yourself, you're prone to greed. I was just thinking, when was the last time that I repented of this sin of greed? When was the last time that I did? And in this passage, we see this person who stands up and says to Jesus, "Come on, tell my brother to divide the inheritance." And more likely, his dad was rich and had left some things, farms, maybe animals and stuff like that. And in the ancient world, that was meant to be divided equally amongst the children, and this brother is holding on to them. Now, this is such a, it just comes from out of nowhere. When you're reading this passage, you know, there's a lot of other amazing things that Jesus Christ is doing. Like he's teaching around, you know, people have to watch out that they are not being hypocritical. You know, he's talking about, if you don't receive me, you know, I will not receive you. I will reject you. If you reject me, I will reject you. If you receive me, I will receive you. He's talking about, you know, he spoke about the unforgiving sin, which is to do with blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And in the middle of that teaching, this man stands up and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance." And Christ responds to that, "But first of all, who has actually appointed me in your family that I'll be responsible to do this job?" And then he turns and says, "Well, watch out. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." You can be, you're looking for this thing, but also it could be possible that you're actually being carried away by greed. So he says, watch out, because actually greed shows up in all sorts of ways. And the lie that greed is built on says, I need it, I must have it, with it, life will be better. I need it, I must have it, with it, life will be better. Whatever the it is for you, I need this job, I must have it, and with it, life will be better. I need this money, I need it, I must have it, with it, life will be better. But Jesus Christ says, watch out for that lie, because the possessions that you have cannot determine the value of your life. Or the possessions that you do not have cannot determine how meaningful or not meaningful your life is, how important or not important your life is. But watch out, because greed tends to sneak up on you, and you can easily fail to see it. You cannot see it. So he says, watch out for all kinds of greed. All kinds of greed. Watch out. Greed is more, you can see it more when it's far. You know, greed is more noticeable when it's very, very far, but tends to fade when it's close. We are more attuned to see greed in other people's lives, but not in our own lives. Not in our own lives. And for this young man, you know, it was like, Jesus Christ, come on. Talk to my greedy brother. Talk to him. Come on, talk to him. I'm not greedy because, first of all, I have nothing. But he says, no, that's not how it works. Every single one of us, including you, who is looking for something, watch out. Watch out. In fact, watch out when you're looking for something or when you didn't get that which you don't want. Watch out. Be on your guard. Be in your guard, because greed can easily sneak up on you. So I just wanted to highlight kind of like times when we can be more prone to greed, and that we need to be on our guard. We need to be on our guard. Number one, be on guard when your sense of security is in what you have. Be on guard when your sense of security in what you have is more appealing than your security in God. Verse 18 says, then he said, this is what I would do. I would tear down my barns. This is the rich fool. I would tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I would store my surplus grain. And I would say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Drink and be merry. And be merry. The rich fool looks at the things that he had and he thought to himself, what more do I need? I have everything else that I need. Now I'll just take life easy. I'll just eat, drink, and enjoy myself. In Chichewa, there's a word, kuzipe besa. That's what it is. I'll just enjoy and chill and be merry. I have all that I need. That means I'll never be hungry again. I have all that I need. I'll never be in want again. I have to worry again, because I have all that I need. Now this is a sense of security. But actually, this sense of security is built in stuff and not in God. And not in God. And greed will lead you to find security in the more that you have rather than in God who has you. Oh, when I have more of that money, then I'll be good. I'll be good when I have more of that education, when I have more of those business opportunities, when I have more, when I build more houses, when I have more of this, when I have more of that. And that's you finding security in stuff. And therefore, when you begin to live your life that way, what's going to happen is that you're going to see that your life is better based on what you have, and your life is worse based on what you don't have. And Jesus Christ invites us that we would find security in God, because our lives are not worth dependent on what we have or we don't have. We know that more of this won't make our life worth or valuable. Having Jesus is what makes life valuable. That's life. Having a lot of something or less of something does not determine if your life is important or not. But having Jesus, when you get what you want, it's easy to find satisfaction in that thing, in the thing that you want, in the thing that you need. But actually, it's in Christ. It's very, very amazing that this man says to his soul, says to himself, I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat a drink, and be merry. I'll say to my soul, chill, be. I'll say to my soul, be at peace because of what you have. Now, if peace is built in the things that we have, that's a very weak foundation. That's a very, very weak foundation. Our peace needs to be built in God. And greed is defeated when we realize that we are not what we have, but who we have. In fact, who has us? Him who has us. It's God who has us. So we are safe with Him. We are safe in God. We are safe in God. Now, Jesus Christ is not against possessions or being rich or being ambitious or having big dreams. He's never against those things at all. But Christ is always against when we let the possessions that we have possess us. You know, He's always against that. That your possessions should not control you. But you need to find your satisfaction in God, your security in God. And that is found when we begin to direct our hearts towards that which matters the most to God. The one thing that matters the most to God is that we would use what we have to save other people, especially those that do not deserve it, especially those who are not likely to give us back, that we would come to God. Because Jesus Christ was big on this. Like, if you lose it, you're going to find it. But if you find it, you're going to lose it. If you keep it, if you want to keep it for yourself, you're going to lose it. But if you let it go, in fact, lay it down. If you lay it down at the feet of Jesus, if you lay it down at the feet of God, that's when you're going to find true satisfaction. So be on God. Be on God when security is in what you have is more appealing than your security in God. Number two, be on God when getting something becomes more important to you than being grateful for it. Be on God when getting something becomes more important to you than being grateful for it. Verse 16 says, and he told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. What shall I do? I have no place to store all of this abundance. The problem of this rich fool is that he never saw the presence of God in his work. He never saw that actually God was involved in this. He never saw that. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. Who made the ground rich? It's God. It's God who made that ground rich. And he failed to see that. He failed to see that. Who actually gave strength for him to go to work or for his workers to go to work? It is actually God who did that. He never considered that it was God who gave the wisdom in the first place. He never considered that it was God working. And more likely, being a rich person, he had people working for him. And he never considered to even appreciate those. And he just looks at what he has. So he says, be on God. Be on God. Because if you're not on God, you easily believe that your achievements are only your effort, that your successes are only your effort, that your wins are only your effort because of you. Because of you. You made it happen. You made it happen. And the thing that can curb this is being grateful. being grateful, being thankful to God, honoring God, because greed dies where God is honored. Where God is honored, greed will die. Because in honoring God, we glorify Him and we see God to be more valuable above all things. We see Him to be the treasure that we need above all things. We see Him to be the one who satisfies our souls above all things. And we enjoy Him above all things. Above all things. So we must be grateful, because the ungrateful heart becomes a breeding ground for greed. Because when you are ungrateful, you're going to feel more entitled. You're going to feel more entitled. I made it happen. It's for me. The world owes me. God owes me. But He doesn't. And when you're grateful, when you're grateful to God, that entitlement begins to dwindle and God is more glorified. So be on guard. Number three, be on guard when you have an opportunity to trust God. Be on guard when you have an opportunity to trust God. The rich fool says, this is what I would do. I would tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. When it comes to trusting God, often we think about trusting God when there is lack. You know, when I need something, or I don't have it, so I need to trust God so I could have whatever that thing is. I need to trust God because I have this need in my life. But actually, trusting God shouldn't only stop when we are in need. Should continue even when we get what we need. Even when we get what we wanted, we should continue to trust God, to trust in His grace, to trust in His provision, to trust that He will sustain us. We need to continue to trust our God. Because when you stop trusting God because you got whatever you wanted, you will be committing this sin. Where your faith is going to be in how big your barn is, in the bigger barn, and not in a God who is big. Your faith should never be in the bigger barns, but your faith must be in the bigger God, more especially when you get what you want. That it is God who gave me this, so therefore I will trust Him. I will trust my God. I will trust my God. When COVID came, we realized that we thought we were in control, but actually we weren't. And I thought we were in control of when we meet, you know, on Sundays, but realize, I'm not in control of that. We thought we were in control of like, I'll just apply for jobs and get it. But we realized actually we're not. And our congregation got hit a lot. A lot of young people here lost jobs, lost businesses, lost scholarship opportunities because they couldn't travel or they didn't even have the money to go and be there. And maybe there is still people that maybe you are in that space right now. Maybe what you lost was not a bigger band. Maybe it was your only band that you lost. And now maybe your life is surrounded by fear and uncertainty. And I want to bring attention to a God who is big. A God who is big. A God who is big to provide for us, to provide for you. A God who is big, who creates something out of nothing. A God who can bring resurrection to a dead situation. A God who forgives. A God who is big, even when you mess up, that He welcomes you. A big God who loves the unloved, or those that feel like they're unloved. God is big. So no matter where you're at right now, a big God, if you trust Him, if you have faith in Him, whether things are going well or not, whether you have big barns or not, you're still going to experience His grace and His goodness. He's still going to provide peace for you in those situations. Because the illusion of a bigger barn is that it gives us a false sense of peace. You think like, now I have this peace in my heart. I have this peace in my life. But actually, the truest peace comes from God. The danger of greed is that it eventually leads to destruction. Verse 20 says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Who will get what you have prepared for yourself? He had a sense of peace, which was built on this thing. And actually God eventually says, actually your very life is going to be taken away from you. So let's see what's going to happen to this thing that you have built for yourself. Let's see what's going to happen. This thing that you're depending on. And what God is doing there is like your only sense of peace has to be found in God. That's where you need to put your trust. Your faith needs to be in God and not in the things that you have. But we have good news. The good news is that God is so committed and is committed to welcome even us, the greedy ones. Verse 21 says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. The invitation is that we would be rich towards God. We would be rich towards God. We can be rich towards God. Jesus is rich towards us. Very, very rich towards us. Greed wants to take it all, but Jesus left it all for us, that we can find hope and grace in him. Greed finds satisfaction in the stuff that it's hoarding, but Jesus Christ was thirsty so that you and I can find satisfaction in him, that we can be rich towards God. We can be rich towards God. Just three practical ways that you can embrace that, how you live a life that's rich towards God. Number one, embrace generosity. In fact, embrace the right mindset around generosity. You can look at generosity and say, I've taken something that belonged to me and I've given it to someone else. Or you can look at generosity and say, I am making available something that belongs to God to someone else. And this thing belongs to God. This resource belongs to God, and I'm making it available to someone else, to someone else. And that mindset exalts and glorifies God. So embrace the right mindset around generosity. Number two, embrace living with contentment, living with contentment. Contentment that does not come from the knowledge that you have everything that you want. Contentment comes from a realization that you have what you need. You have what you need. In this time, in this season, in this moment, you have what you need. You have what you need. You have what you need. So you're going to have a sense of peace. You're going to have a sense of joy. Not in your wins or losses, but in God. Grounded and bigger than yourself. Grounded in Christ. Contentment must be grounded in Christ. Because Christ gives us hope. He gives us hope. And that we can live a life of hope. What is hope? Hope is living in anticipation to experience the goodness of God. Living in anticipation to experience the goodness of God. To know that God will be good to me today, and God will be good to me tomorrow, and God will be good to me forever. Because God is good, and therefore he will be good to me. Contentment will say, a God who is good is in control of my life. So I'll be all right. I'll be all right because a God who is good has my best interest at heart. I'll be okay because a God who is good has what's best for me. I'll be all right because a God who is good is for me and never against me. So therefore, I'll live my life grounded in hope that he gives me, living in anticipation that I will experience his goodness. I will experience his goodness. And lastly, embrace the truth that you belong to God. You belong to God. You belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. The lie of greed says, I need it. I must have it. And with it, life will be better. But the gospel says, I need Jesus. I must have him. With him, life will be better. I need him. I must have him. With him, life will be better. Whether things are looking good or not, but I have him. I have him. I have my God. I have my God. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. For some of you, there's an invitation there. An invitation to surrender. An invitation to trust. An invitation to embrace a life of hope, living in anticipation that you will experience God's goodness in your life. Some of it could be an invitation to repent, where you say, God, I'm sorry. I've been greedy. Forgive me. Whatever an invitation for you, I want you to just start taking a step of faith now by just saying a prayer to God for yourself. Just take a moment silently. We can say a prayer to God. Whatever the invitation is for you. Jesus, we come to you right now. For you are our true satisfaction. We come to you, Lord, because you're the one that holds us together. There are moments when we let go and run, looking for stuff, looking for things, and thinking that those things will give us peace. God, we know that our truest peace comes from you. God, may we find rest and peace in our God. God, we also repent. We repent of our sin of greed. But there are moments that we have embraced taking more than giving, more than laying it down at the feet of Jesus. God, we pray, may you help us. May you help us to see you in what we have, to seek you with what we have. And may you lead us, God. May you help us, God. Give us hope. Help us live that life of hope. We thank you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to stand as we worship God one more time.